We are joined in the studio by Mark Dorison, who heads up the Orange County Board of Commissioners, also a civil rights attorney, so I can ask him about anything. How are you?
I couldn't be any better.
Unfortunately, every single thing that I cover here at WCHL either has to do with Orange County news or probably has something to do with someone violating someone's civil rights. It seems to be a lot of the state-level news that we get, so...
That's true. I mean, it's the civil rights issues affect every aspect of our lives. And North Carolina, as we've talked about before, is ground zero for the latest challenges and attacks on civil rights.
And we keep I think the last couple of weeks we've talked about these six constitutional amendments that are going to be on the ballot and all the lawsuits that are the two lawsuits that are surrounding that. But that's still very much on everyone's mind. There's a new development today where Dallas Woodhouse at a panel discussion this morning suggests that maybe judges can be impeached if they vote against the Republicans on this one, and then had to issue another statement later in the day, walking back about 10% of that, but not really. And that's where things stand right now. So these lawsuits are moving through the courts, and now you've got what appears to be a standing, if not a threat, then at least a suggestion that we could impeach any judge who doesn't rule in our favor. And that's where we are right now.
It's, you know, in another time, a statement like that might have seen particularly outlandish and extreme, but the fact is, we just saw a group of state Supreme Court justices impeached in West Virginia over some financial improprieties or alleged financial improprieties. And I'll tell you, as soon as when that story broke, which I read about a couple of days ago, my first thought was, oh no, this is going to be a model for attacks on the judiciary in other states. And so to hear that today, the head of the state Republican Party was suggesting that if the judges rule against the legislature, they could be impeached, was really quite terrifying at a level. And we've talked before about how these cases, in particular the constitutional amendment cases, particularly the ones about the balance of power between the executive and the legislative, really go to sort of the core of the separation of powers and structure of our constitutional government. And then to hear that, that judges, justices could potentially be threatened with impeachment if they vote the wrong way, you know, really crystallizes that in even more, you know, really, again, just nefarious way.
Yeah. And this is in the context of a case, and we talked about this last week, where Woodhouse in the comments that he made this morning does have a legally valid point, which is that the state constitution authorizes the legislature to put the question on the ballot, the people vote, and to make the argument, as these lawsuits are making, that the disparity between what the question suggests the amendments will do and what the amendments will actually do is so huge and so egregious as to be unconstitutional is a really difficult argument to make, partly because there is, and we want this to be the case for the most part, there is generally a policy of judicial deference to the legislature. We don't want judges who are, not unelected in this case, but often unelected on the federal level. We don't want judges to be stepping in and overruling the legislature and the executive, the elected branches. But that judicial deference hinges on the assumption, and this kind of came up in the court proceedings this week too, hinges on the assumption that the legislature and the executive branches are not going out of their way to exceed their constitutional authority. And at a certain point, you have to start to question that. When every single time you've got the General Assembly passing bills that are, and I've said this before, at best barely constitutional. Like, that's the best thing you can say about it, is that it just barely passes constitutional muster and very often goes way over that line. At a certain point, the justification for that deference isn't there anymore.
That's exactly right. And, you know, this is, again, you've got to look at this, what's happening now, in context, right? This is a legislature that has had numerous statutes that it's passed be overturned by courts as being unconstitutional, overreach of power or violation of civil rights and or individual rights. And so, you know, that context is critical in this conversation. You know, there is a, you know, the judicial deference and the balance of power issue aside, you know, there is a long tradition in the law of recognizing that statutes can be unconstitutional because they are vague, right? Mm-hmm. That particularly, there's a lot of history in criminal statutes that statutes have to be specific enough so that people know what behavior is expected of them and what behavior is, would likely subject them to punishment. And so I think about that. I've been thinking about that recently and with these ambiguously worded statutes is, you know, how can you have these amendments, you know, how can you ask people to vote on something that is absolutely unclear as to what it means. Mm-hmm. And so, it seems ironic that the head of the state Republican Party is suggesting that the Supreme Court, trying to fulfill its constitutional obligation in determining whether laws are constitutional or not, is actually provoking a constitutional crisis of separation of powers, when in fact the very amendments at issue threaten the constitutional separation of powers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the going back to the rule of 95% of anything that people say is probably not the actual,
right.
A, not the actual rationale for the argument that they're making, and B, they don't even believe it, right? I really don't think so.
The other thing that was interesting in the statement that I read, you know, impeachment was sort of thrown out there, which, you know, also has an aspect of trolling the, mm-hmm. the left. But he also mentioned in the litany of things that could be done in response to an adverse ruling is adding more justices to the Supreme Court, which is something that, again, if the legislature takes power to start appointing justices, that's something that I think we could anticipate happening. They mm-hmm. already have the authority to do that, to set the number of justices on the bench. And so certainly the implication there is, without going so far as an impeachment, we have the authority to, again, manipulate the process.
Yeah. Speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Commissioner's civil rights attorney, we're talking about the state constitutional amendments. And we kind of said last week that these lawsuits that we're talking about, it's a hard argument to make. So you would expect, under normal circumstances, the judges to rule in favor of the legislature in the first place, which means that while we're having this conversation about, oh, how are the justices going to rule, the get-out-the-vote efforts and the voter education efforts have to get underway right now as well. And I'm seeing the signs already out and about, vote no on the Nix All Six movement, right? Vote no on all of them.
That's going to be a critical aspect of how this goes forward. I mean, I certainly think, I just heard today from some folks who have been working on these issues that there's going to be an incredible amount of money coming into the state around both the vote no mm-hmm. and the vote yes on these amendments. Lots of dark money, you know, lots of Citizens United money. And the predictions are, you know, over $20 million will be coming in on these questions. And so, again, you know, North Carolina has really become ground zero for civil rights. I've said that a bunch of times. You know, if this goes forward, I'm sure there are other state legislatures across the country watching this and looking at it as a potential template for aggrandizing power.
Although the last couple of times that every single state has watched North Carolina and then the state has succeeded in doing the thing that they wanted to do, that ended up being a cautionary tale,
right? That's right.
2012, the state was the last one to ban gay marriage, and then the tide turns the other way.
Right.
2016, we pass HB2, and now even Oklahoma can't pass a bill like that because the business community speaks out so strongly against it, and that's because of what happened here.
That's right. And, you know, the one encouraging thing is as strong as the forces pushing back against civil rights and greater access and greater participation are, you know, you're seeing the other side mm-hmm. organize, get active, get motivated, the signs you're seeing and things like that. So, I mean, it really is. It really is the model nationally for the battle that's going mm-hmm. on. And so not unironically that the Republican National Convention is going to be here in 2020.
In Charlotte, right. But what that also means, I think, too, and kind of learned this lesson in 2012 and 2016, even if the fight on the left leads to defeat in North Carolina, the fight is still important because of the message it sends nationwide.
That's right. That's right. I mean, everyone is watching, and, all the lessons that can be drawn from this experience, positive and negative, will be taken up. So,
yeah. So that's what's going on at the state level. Let's bring it down to the local level, because this discussion about civil rights is happening locally, in our case, around the Silent Sam statue on campus, among other civil rights issues, obviously, too. But we've got the demonstration that's coming up on campus on Monday, day before classes start. Just so happens to be Maurice Jones's first day on the job as Chapel Hill town manager, coming down from Charlottesville.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, literally the first day. But you've been to some of these the anti-SAM demonstrations in the past, so what have you seen at these, and what do you expect for the one on Monday?
Well, I think it's going to be a very big crowd. I mean, I think there's been a lot of energy around the Move Silent SAM movement, particularly since My Little's protest. Mm-hmm. And there was news today that the state committee that's looking at the historic commission is supposedly going to meet on Wednesday and make some recommendations. I mean, you know, the NNO article that I read about it, you know, went to great lengths to note that while they had received many requests from residents to move Silent Sam, there still hasn't been any formal requests from the UNC Board of Governors, the UNC Board of Trustees, or the UNC campus. And so while we've heard from those entities that their hands are tied by the state law, their hands certainly aren't tied to request, as the governor did with the monuments in Raleigh, that it be moved. And yet not even that step has been taken, yeah, which is especially troubling.
Especially since the commission is now very explicitly saying, we are waiting to hear from you.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, the ball is clearly in UNC's court, and they really have refused to take any action. What was also reported is that they've spent almost $400,000 protecting that statue, and that adds to the, you know, to the real, I think, to the real disrespect that the folks who have been protesting feel around this issue.
And I think there's, I was talking about this with Blake Hodge earlier this week, because he's got his piece up on Chapelboro, which is sort of a longer recap of the last 3 years, ever since the General Assembly passed their You Can't Move a Statue law and everything that's transpired around the statue since then. And I said then, and it just seems to me, just reading that recap, that UNC has been going out of its way to try to be as neutral as possible, right? Like, we're not taking a strong position one way or the other, but again, I said this earlier this week, Howard Zinn's line, you can't be neutral on a moving train. Like, this is a moving debate, and if you try to stay neutral, that's taking a side in sort of practical effect.
I was going to say, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Yep.
Quote, I think. I mean, yeah, certainly. And there have been other things that have come out from UNC that indicate they're not as neutral as they purport to be. Again, refusing to take the step to make the request of the Historical Commission. There have been a bunch of emails and things released through public records requests that show, they've been sending emails to big donors who say they want to support the statue, that they agree with them. There have been other emails that have intimated that the folks who are protesting against SAM are outside agitators, you know, suggesting that it's not a grassroots student-based movement that's grown up. I wouldn't characterize any of that as neutral. I would characterize it as antagonistic.
We've got to wrap up. We've talked about state stuff and city stuff. We haven't mentioned county stuff yet. What is going on in Orange County that people ought to know about?
Well, we're getting ready to start meeting again. We just recently had the tragic loss of an Orange County volunteer firefighter, which was, you know, a devastating loss to the community. That's particularly tragic. The other things that, you know, I don't know if I feel like it's a good thing or if it's a bad thing that it seems like the hottest news locally is that the roundabout on South Greensboro Street is open. I did drive around it 5 times in a row just to get in the mood.
So Mayor LaBelle wasn't kidding. There were people out there doing that. Okay.
Yes. And it's very exciting. we have a lot ahead of us coming up. The perpetual issue of affordable housing is at the forefront, and what we're going to be able to do around that and around, you know, poverty in our community. Hopefully that's something that will really be all of us, all the local governments will be really digging into in the next, you know, year.
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information. Mark Dorson, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Great to see you, Aaron.